Good evening and welcome to KCEO Radio AM 1000. We're coming to you from Southern California here tonight at the 11th Hour Ministries. Tonight on the 11th Hour Ministries, this show is put together so that we can study the Bible and the mystery of the gospel according to God, the word of the Lord through the Bible. And we love to share pure scripture here at the 11th Hour Ministries. With those who actually know God and ones who actually don't know Him but want to know Him. We are just thrilled tonight to be able to come to you live here at the 11th Hour Ministries in Southern California. Tonight we're here again to study what we call the 20th Century Application to Timeless Instruction. The Bible, according to the Lord, is the true word, the truth. And as I grew up, I didn't realize that the Bible was a book. That when I read, I was able to get instruction and guidance, and instead of asking friends and family and things of that nature for instruction and guidance, I went to finally to realize that reading the Bible, I was able to devour the Word of God and just thrilled to be able to know that there's the truth that is unadulterated, it's pure, it's written for us, it's a gift from God to us, and just changed my life forever. So that's what this program has been put together for. And tonight we're going to start off with a song, which the folks who have been listening to the program have been able to have, we've seen lives transform. We're very excited about people who have turned to the Word of God, to the Bible, and have absolutely had their lives change in a dramatic way forever. And this song actually kind of helps us understand one part of our walk with the Lord. So have a listen.
And I can't begin to know what you're going through. And I won't deny the pain that you're feeling, but I'm gonna try and give a little hope to you. Just remember what I told you. There's so much you're living for. There's a light at the end of this tunnel. There's a light at the end of this tunnel for you, for you. And there's a light at the end of this tunnel, shining bright at the end of this tunnel for you, for you. So keep holding on. Got your disappointments and sorrows, and you want to share the weight of that load with me. Then you will find out the light of tomorrow, and it brings a new life for your eyes to see. So remember what I told you. There's so much you're living for. There's a light at the end of this tunnel. There's a light at the end of this tunnel for you, for you, yeah. There's a light at the end of this tunnel, shining bright at the end of this tunnel for you, for you. So keep holding on. Keep holding on. Remember what I told you.
she are living for. There's a light at the end of this tunnel. There's a light at the end of this tunnel for you. Disappointments and sorrows, but I'm gonna try to give a little hook to you.
Amen, amen. Okay, so that's that actually, this song really kind of reminds me of the walk that I had when I was walking in the world without the knowledge of the Lord and the Bible and Scripture. There's got to be a light at the end of the tunnel for each person out there who is in pain or feels a tug at their heart that something just isn't right. There's, without God in your life, there's some kind of void that just can't be filled by anything else but the true Word of God and the true Scripture. And so hopefully that touches some hearts out there tonight for there's got to be a light at the end of the tunnel. We're here at the 11th Hour Ministries, and we're saying that we found the source of the light, and that is the gospel, the Word of God, true Scripture. And so let's open with a prayer here. Is God, please forgive all the people who are listening tonight for all the sins that they committed to this moment in time, including myself, God. We all fall short, but we're all here, God, tonight just collectively gathering in your name. And God, you say, whether two or more are gathered, there I shall be. God, this world is just in such a turmoil. And God, we see so much pain and anguish in this world. And we're just here, God, to ask that you be with us tonight. And your word is heard. And the message that you want all of us to understand tonight, God, is brought through for your glory and your honor. And we pray for all this in the name of Jesus, our brother. Amen. So tonight, it's really interesting that we would... John Edwards is a topic that has come up lately, and so we're really curious to, you know, kind of think upon this topic for a minute. Here's a guy who was going to be the president of the United States, and within the last week has now confessed that he has cheated on his wife, and the trouble with the confession or the act of what he had done, committing adultery and things of this nature, it's not bad enough that a man would violate his sacred vow in front of God and an altar somewhere to be united with his wife and be faithful to her. But what kind of society do we live in when we have a guy who was running for the presidency who isn't honest with, when confronted with the situation, that for a period of time, I think somewhere upwards of a year, that he's been in this type of situation where people have been questioning his behavior, questioning whether or not he was unfaithful. And the real trouble here is the lie, the perpetuation of the lie and the cover-up and things of this nature. And so, you know, this is one reason specifically right here that what kind of role model, what kind of message are we sending to ourselves and our young people when person who was going to be the leader of the free world has chosen to behave in such a way. Now, I'm not here to pass judgment on this man. We all do fall short, but I'm just bringing to the folks' attention tonight that without God, without the Bible, without instruction, without commands that we follow in a strict order, we're a boat without a rudder. I mean, this world is in a place where if we lean on our own understanding, the Bible clearly says that we will not be able to function in a proper manner. And so there's a perfect example of how a guy who obviously is very intelligent, there's how many of our politicians have had the same scenario where there is this adultery or immorality of whatever sort in the last few years. We go back to Clinton and, you know, so many examples of the presidencies or the politicians that have this immorality take place in their lives, but yet, you know, they're not setting a great example. They're not promoting truth and honor and goodness, and that's what the Bible, without a question, is strictly written around, is that truth and honesty and goodness and wholesomeness and all the things good is what the Bible clearly asks us to be aware of and to promote. And so tonight, I'd like to go into Deuteronomy, which is Deuteronomy 28. This is a copy of the NIV Bible that we use here on the 11th Hour Ministries. And we do say tonight that this, we consider when we read the Bible, it to be a miracle in motion. And the reason why is because this is the true word of God. This is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. There is no other even close, there's nothing else on the planet Earth that even comes close to the value and importance of the Bible and the true word of God through the Bible. And so here at Deuteronomy 28, God clearly tells us that there are blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. So in Deuteronomy 28, it starts off like this. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading through will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and everything you put your hand to. And so, without a question, God makes it very clear that by our obedience, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands, that he will super bless our lives. On the other hand, in Deuteronomy 28:15, this is curses for disobedience. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading through will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land, and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. The Lord will send curses on you, confusion and rebuke in everything you put your hand to, until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. The Lord will plague you with diseases and until he has destroyed you from the land you are entering to possess. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, with fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, with blight and mildew, which will plague you until you perish. The sky over your head will be bronze, the ground beneath you iron. The Lord will turn the rain of your country into dust and powder. It will come down from the skies until you are destroyed. And it goes on, and it gets worse actually. There's another here, 28:28. The Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion of mind. At midday you will grope around like a blind man in the dark. You will be unsuccessful in everything you do. Day after day you will be oppressed and robbed with no one to rescue you. So, once again, you know, we go back to obedience and disobedience. And what we know is that, you know, by the behavior that is not according to the word of God by the scripture. We are either honoring God or not. We are being obedient or not. There is a very clear indication, and that is through our hearts. Each person is given a compass of true north in themselves. They know right from wrong, and you can feel when you're doing something that makes you feel guilty or any of the signs that what we're doing is improper. And by staying focused on a sin, we virtually allow ourselves to be taken away from God's grace and God's blessing. And so tonight we're here going to sort of focus on how can we get our lives blessed, and the key is that we need to be obedient to God's word and instruction. The interesting part of it is how can we be obedient to something if we're not clear on what that is that we're supposed to be the obedient to? So once again, this is a book that God has given us as a gift. And when we read the Bible, we super encourage people to get a Bible and read it and get together with other fellow Christians. If you're not able to, if you don't know how to read the Bible, get together with a good Bible-based church in your area. Here in Southern California, I happen to be a member of what's called the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside. And what an awesome church. This is a church that, according to the Word of God, if you read the Scripture, you will find that this particular church reads Scripture every Sunday, and they follow the doctrine of the law of the Lord. There's tremendous fellowship there, tremendous study classes. There's home Bible study programs, outreach programs, and without a question, God is alive and well in this church. And the key is that it's all according to Scripture. It's all according to the Bible. And so if you have a church that you're going to right now, we highly recommend going to a church that is a Bible-based church that reads pure Scripture and follows the doctrine of the law of God. And so again, here in Southern California, we invite you to go to the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside. If you live in the area and you don't have currently a church that you're attending, or if you don't find that your church follows the pure, true, strict doctrine of the Word of God, they can be found at www.lightcc.org. Also, for those folks who have Cox Cable, on KOCT-TV, Channel 18, at between 12 and 1 on Saturday, each of the programs that are, mass that is heard each week is can be seen on Channel KOCT-TV, Channel 18, between 12 and 1 on Saturday afternoons. So tonight we're going to open the phone lines to anyone who might have something on their heart that might bring light to their walk with the Lord and the way that God has moved powerfully in their lives, or some type of input on what being obedient to God's word versus disobedient, how that has impacted their lives. I was once a man who lived according to my own will and my own way, and I was kind of a good guy. I didn't set out to harm anyone. I've never physically harmed anyone that... So it really turned out to be a situation where I didn't know any better of what I was supposed to do in my life. And what's interesting is that what I didn't realize is if we don't invite God into our hearts, if we don't ask Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, then we actually by default are owned and powered or overpowered by the dark forces of this world. Basically, without God, you don't have any protection against the devil. That's the bottom line. That's the way the Bible reads. So, like for instance, my question to you folks would be, there's a certain person I know who has a roommate, and my question is that roommate your doom mate? And it's interesting because with our walk in this world, we have the influence of other people in our lives. And the question is, are they really healthy for us, healthy relationships, or do we have unhealthy relationships and unhealthy attractions? are we in love when we find love, or do we have an obsession that is unhealthy, etc.? And so, you know, once again tonight, I'd like to, you know, share the Word of God in order to bring us to more understanding of what He wants of us in our lives and how to separate ourselves from Satan. Right now, we're going to take on line one a call from Josephine. Hello, Josephine.
Hi, Mark. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, sister. And yourself?
I'm doing well. Well, I just wanted to let you know that one thing that Arthur and I are learning here in Houston is that the number one thing that God requires of us is righteousness.
Amen.
Because if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, He said we shall be completely satisfied.
Amen.
And here in 2 Timothy 2, the 19th verse, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Mm. Amen.
And then in verse 21, it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work.
And
Isn't
God,
that good?
It's amazing. And I think we're getting some feedback, actually, from your radio, Josephine.
Just a second.
So here, what we do know is that Jesus, even in Luke, it talks about where the devil came to Jesus, and when Jesus was in the desert, you know, he tempted Jesus for 40 days and 40 nights that Jesus was in the desert. The devil came to Jesus hungry as can be and said, you know, turn these rocks into bread. Why would you not, you know, aren't you hungry? I mean, you have the power to do so. And what we know is that without God in our lives, we are going to be tempted by the devil. There's no question about it. And without God, I mean, who can protect us from Satan and his fall, who is a fallen angel, and his angels?
That's right.
And what's amazing about it is that, you know, I fear God, and I fear Him in a grateful manner, because what I know is I'm really afraid of Satan. There's no question that Satan, who stays up 24/7, 365, trying to figure out, Satan says in the Bible that he roams like a lion looking for things to devour.
Okay.
And he spends all his time just wandering around looking for to destroy. And
that's
so
right.
That's what, you know, the message tonight is hopefully that people will understand there is an entity or a power called Satan or the devil. And whether we like it or not, it's there, and it controls the darkness of this world. End of story. The people who do things like our politicians who, you know, defy their relationships with their wives and then lie about them and things of that nature, the reason why I brought up that example, and again, I'm not trying to pass judgment. We all do fall short, but the trouble is that is a pure indication that that's a man or a person who has lived a life according to their own will, and they have not called upon the power of God to protect them against the temptation of the person they were in moral with. What does Satan come looking like? It's, you know, Satan works through people in our lives, so of course Satan will come to a person who isn't asking God to guide them and protect them and have great instruction in their lives. Satan's going to come as a very appealing looking person of the opposite sex, or you know, could be drug, could be alcohol, could be any form of temptation that Satan will use to bring us away from God, to separate us from God. And it's so clear that even in the politics of our, you know, this great United States, that we have a lack of people who are super accurate in reading their scripture and following the Word of God, and or promoting that if you don't have God in your life, these are the things that will happen to you.
That's right. And the thing about it is that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It says that in Romans 3. But that's before we get born again. Once we get born again, according to Romans 6, when you go into that, when you get baptized and that old nature goes down into that water, we live that old nature down there.
Amen.
We come up and we're a new creation. We're alive, and now our life is lived by the faith of the Son of God, who, guess what, has overcome those temptations. He doesn't want us sin anymore. We have a new nature.
Amen.
The nature of Jesus Christ. And it says in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, it says, let no man deceive you, my little children.
Amen.
If you do righteousness, you're righteous even as he is righteous.
Amen.
I think there's a lot of people doing a lot of righteousness, you know, quite a lot of righteousness, and thinking that they're still sinners saved by grace, and we're actually saints saved by grace.
Well,
empowered.
And to
resist the devil.
Amen. And there's a scripture right here that comes to my mind, Josephine, is that Jesus said to them, this is in John 8:42. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. And so this scripture, I mean, you know, imagine, Josephine, is that you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And so, you know, that's what we're speaking of tonight, is the example of, you know, these politicians, again, who, you know, that it's bad enough to have an immoral relationship with your wife. And, of course, being in the public eye, they're, you know, subject to much more scrutiny. But then to go on and lie and lie and lie, and then to be embarrassed and ashamed, which is what God tells us, all things hidden will be revealed. So do know, and everyone who's listening, but by the word of God, no matter what we do in secret, Bible says all things hidden will be revealed. And God does it that way because there's no way to get around God. You cannot beat the system. And so, you know, here's these folks that are thinking that they've, you know, gotten a minute of fantasy fulfilled or whatever they want to, you know, this time in their lives. God says everything for a season. So in the spring, summer, fall, or winter, one of the seasons of their lives, they got away with this thing. But, you know, this man just destroyed his whole reputation and things of that nature. Now, in those type of painful events, hopefully he turns to the Lord and, you know, repents of his sin, asks for forgiveness, and our God can forgive and turn his life around. But that's the importance of the Bible. This is a guy who, you know, like we were talking about, Josephine, he's pretty intelligent. Guy was going to be the leader of the free world.
Yes.
And if we read our Bibles accurately, the leader of the free world was would have been a man who Jesus' language would not have been clear to him if he was the same person and didn't repent and ask for forgiveness of his sins. Because you're unable to hear what I say, you belong to the Father, the devil. So the man, the leader of the free world, by lying and continuing on in his lie, would have been the person running our country and our, you know, the free world, so to speak, right? Can you imagine? So how important is God in our lives? We, you know, this is so amazing to me that in this modern day age. And I do believe that there's a change coming in the winds. I've seen that there's a program on cable TV called The Church Channel. And now at this point in time, and this is DirecTV, in the 350 to 375-ish channel range, they have programs now that used to be on the TV when you would watch, you know, a pastor or a minister. They would speak about 5 minutes about God and probably 25 minutes of the half hour about sending your money. But, you know, it's changed in such a great way now that I've seen this revelation where people are really on fire for God. The truth is being promoted, and that is because it's the pure scripture. Every time we visit the Word of God, we learn the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, you know, we're trying to get the message out tonight on, right?
That's right. And I'm looking here and I'm looking all over the place. You've got it in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, you've got it everywhere. The 1 Peter where it says, the one you were talking about, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he is our enemy. But he looks like a friend sometimes, because sin is pleasant to the taste but hard to digest, Job says.
Mm.
As a roaring lion walketh about, seeing whom he may devour. And here's the thing, whom resist steadfast in the faith,
wow,
knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We're not alone, and we have to stand up and resist the devil so that he'll flee from us. I mean, that's pretty simple. Christian living is just resist the devil and he will flee from you. Welcome him and he'll move right in and take over. We've talked about that before. It takes the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to resist the devil. And then in 2 Peter, you've got it right here. It says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness. I'm in the third chapter of 2 Peter. It says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
Mm.
Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Wow.
Wait a minute, I was looking for one. Oh, here it is, the 14th verse. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, get this, without spot and blameless.
Well, you know, Josephine, I mean, it, without a question, the scripture is what really tells us the truth. And
mm-hmm.
you know, tonight we talked about the fact that, you know, we're really actually trying to uncover the fact that there is a devil, there is a Satan, there is a darkness, there is a force, as
right.
in Ephesians it talks about the battle between the spirits in the heavenly realms. There's no question that this world is, you know, Jesus says you're either with me or you're against me. And
right.
once again, you know, the Bible is the only separation from the darkness. And once again, in Acts 13:10, here's another great scripture, is you are a child of the devil and an enemy to everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind, and for a time you will be unable to see the light of the sun. And so, you know, once again, I mean, here's another perfect example of, you know, you are a child of the devil and an enemy to everything that is right. Everything that is right.
Mm,
you are full
that's
of
right.
you are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? And you know, that's, I guess, the message tonight is that you're either all in for God or you're not. You're either sold out for God's team or you're not. If you think that just checking in with God every once in a while, or, you know, having a religion of convenience, the really, really, really good friend of mine said something to me this past week, a guy named Tim, who said, it's easy to sit in the pew And so what does that mean? We can all go to a church and sit in the pew and sort of go through the motions and listen to what the preacher, the pastor, the priest has to say, and then go on our merry way and do whatever we feel like doing. God wants us to be self-controlled. He wants us to look into our lives and find the places where we need to improve our walk in the Lord, so we can be a better Christian, have better fellowship, and really promote His truth. My life would have changed dramatically had I known that not only do we need God in our lives, which is really important for anyone who's listening tonight. Without God in our lives, it's empty, it's void. There's a missing link. There's something you can never have. There's a hunger and thirst can never be satisfied without God. But yet, it's not only just God in your life, it's the Bible. It's the Scripture. It's the Word of God. And that's what's so amazing. And that's why we're here trying to, say that if without the Bible, you are pretty much defenseless against Satan and his angels.
That's true.
And keep in mind, for the folks who are listening, once again, in Matthew 25:41, it says, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'"
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a devil, and he does have angels. And in the spiritual realm, the only mm-hmm. separation or protection from the devil and his angels is God and the Scripture. And the two go hand in hand. You cannot have a God-filled relation, God-filled walk with the Lord without the Bible and the teachings of the Bible. And you have to follow the teachings of the Bible. I find so many people who resist and argue or are defensive trying to protect their own will or their own thoughts when Scripture is super clear. And the question is, what reason are you defending a position when what do you have to lose by turning to the Lord and his ways? And what are you gaining by being defensive against something that is against the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
And really, are we on offense in life or defense? And I find so many people, and myself included, before I knew that reading the Bible and absorbing the truth and promoting that in myself and others was the way of true life, that's the way of becoming fulfilled in life, that I was just defensive, and it's kind of like all of a sudden I realized I want to be offensive for God's team. I want to be able to go and find the truth and help those who are hungry and thirst for the truth to find it and be able to apply it to their lives, right?
Right.
And really, it's interesting because right now there's a few people in my life who, just by changing their playmates and playgrounds, they would be able to shake 80% of the hardship away from their lives that is in their lives right now. Just by changing the people in their lives and the places that they go, their playmates and their playgrounds. It's just you find that there's resistance against it. And that's just mind-boggling because how's that working for you? Like Dr. Phil always said, how's that working for you? If you're getting, back to the same old whipping post with the same old people who pull you back into sin of alcohol or drugs or immorality or whatever sort of sin that you keep falling back into, then we have to draw a line in the sand. And instead of being defensive for our own, what we consider to be our own comfort or our own way or will, then, mm-hmm. Err on the side of God's team. Call upon Him for the power. Read His word for the power in order to withstand the devil's schemes. And what an amazing life will transform right in front of your eyes.
That's right. And you do have to get the change of nature, first of all. You do have to receive Jesus into your heart, because without it, we don't have the Holy Spirit. We can't understand the things of the Bible and the things of God. They don't make sense. And then in Luke 14, Jesus tells us that if we're not willing to put him above all else, above our wife, our kids, our brothers, our sisters, our moms, our dads, our friends, and our own life.
Amen.
Then we're not fit to be his disciples, and that takes a real
commitment,
change, and a real commitment. That's right, and a real knowledge. You know, it says in 2 Peter, the first chapter, which is amazing, it says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge godliness,
amen,
and patience, and brotherly kindness, and brotherly and love, you know, and we don't want to lose sight of that we have been forgiven. We got to remember, you know, putting on that helmet of salvation. Everybody talks about that. Ephesians 6:10. Put on that helmet of salvation. That's putting on that helmet of salvation, is remembering, hey, I've been forgiven. I am set free. I don't have to yield myself to unrighteousness anymore. I have to yield myself to the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Well,
and we do that by what you're saying is through the Word of God. It is the strength. It is power. That Word is what causes us not to sin against Him.
Well, and here's, you know, another perfect scripture that matches to what we're saying again is in James 3:15. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practiced. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace rise a harvest of righteousness. And it goes on to say here in James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God.
Yes.
Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up.
Amen.
I mean, this is, you know, this is the scriptures that are so important. And like I said, as I was, as a young person, didn't realize that, you know, this scripture is so pure and so true. And when we do follow these commands or this wisdom in the Bible, you know, Josephine, I think I'm a pretty smart guy, but I can tell you one thing. I couldn't even touch coming close to the wisdom that the Bible brings to us. And, you know, one thing I am smart enough is to know is I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to, you know, I go back and read the Word and read it over and over. And the Bible says that the Word of God is living and active. And it's like every time I go in there, it's food. Jesus, when he prays, give us this day our daily bread, he actually is saying that when we go in, if we're going to eat three meals a day, why do we not go in and feed our souls with the truth that comes from the Bible by reading the Word of God? But I ask that God give people a passion and a hunger and thirst to read the Word. Because, you know, people, I mean, I always kind of thought it was a chore to read anything as I grew up and went through school. And I actually prayed for God to give me hunger and thirst for, you know, the truth or to read his Word. And I actually, you remember people who ever been told a story about people who curl up on a sofa on a cold winter's night next to the fire and read a good book? Josephine, I couldn't imagine for the life of me how someone could do that. It just seemed so foreign to me, but, you know, to read up, to curl up on a sofa on a night, cold winter's night, cold fall night, summertime night, it doesn't matter. Curl up on the sofa, grab a copy of the Bible, start at Ephesians or Proverbs or the New Testament is a great place to start in reading the Word, and just watch how God will move so powerfully in your life. And once again, I mean, we're here tonight talking about resisting the devil and fleeing from him, or having him flee from us, I should say. But it's just really amazing that when I watch the events of our world and the way things unfold and how painful it is to see the message that's sent out by, like we said, you know, the politicians in this day and age, all of the media and the way we sort of seem to live and thrive off of people's demise and the filth and immorality of this world. You know, all these tabloid papers and all this worldliness, all these TV programs that promote immorality. I mean, the television itself, when we are subject to changing channels, just by changing channels and having programs or visual things that pop up on the screen that are pathetically immoral. By this point, it's gotten to a point where I actually have such a restriction on my own television because I don't need to see this stuff. I only want to watch the Discovery Channel or, you know, some wholesome, you know, programming of whatever sort. But it's just it's amazing. And so again, this is why we put this program together here at the 11th Hour Ministries, and this is KCEO Radio AM 1000. Josephine and her husband are actually calling in from Houston, Texas, and we're here in Southern California, but we're here also to promote that anyone listening tonight, that we need to follow a certain doctrine of rules that God gives us. And the question is, Josephine, when we start to look into what can we do to have God be the master of our lives or the guiding force in us, what are the steps to go through? And as we said last week, I'd like to go through this again, is that we, first of all, we have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and he died to pay for our sins and rose again to give eternal life. If you can't get past the fact that Jesus Christ died and rose again on the third day, then this is where the difficulty starts. You have to believe that Jesus and God have such the power to be able to bring Jesus back to life, no question. And so we need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died and paid for our sins, shed his blood for us, and rose again to give us eternal life. He actually, you know, the question is, whoever wants to be comfortable must start off being uncomfortable. You have to really get outside of yourself to learn what this is all about. You got to shift your thinking. You know, the same old is what has to be broken in order to invite God into your life and or Jesus and change your ways. And the Bible even says, if you want to gain your life, you must lose it. Isn't that amazing? And so anyway, yes. You know, we have to believe. And second is that we have to repent. We have to turn from our sin. And we all know what our sin is. I mean, there's a certain compass within us that clearly tells us by guilt or, you know, feeling of whatever sort that there's something wrong or we're doing something against what is pure and honorable and right. And so, and if you're not clear on it, go to a person who's a Christian, read the Bible. The scripture will match up to every single deed that we do is clearly outlined in scripture as to whether God can bless it or will bless it or not. And so we believe is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then we have to repent or turn from our sin. And then we have to ask Jesus Christ to come into our life and be the Lord of our lives. We literally, by asking Jesus into our lives, we are taking Satan and turning him away from being the leader of our life by default. So whether we are just living a life and we're going on trying to be a nice guy or a nice woman and do the right thing, et cetera, what you have to realize is that there's another step that's required. It's not good enough just to be a good guy. It's not good enough just to be a good lady. You need to team up with God and call upon Jesus to be the Lord of your life. And so when we ask Jesus into our life to be the Lord of our life and the scripture to be the guidebook for our lives, then God can bless it and will. And so number four is to confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, which is hugely important. In Romans 10:9 it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so what happens in my life and in my relationship with my wife and our children and the folks around us is literally, if there's times of difficulty or whatever, is we just say out loud, is Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. The Bible clearly says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that means from any dark place, any darkness, any dark thing, because Jesus Christ is Lord and Satan cannot and is unable to have power in that statement. And when that statement is repeated over and over, I truly believe that God will protect us from anything at that moment in time. And so that's why we repeat it and repeat it over and over again in any type of circumstances, in good and bad as well. And then again in Matthew 10:32, it says, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Why doesn't it just say whoever acknowledges me? Well, God wants us to promote his truth and his faith and our relationship with him. He doesn't want us to be embarrassed about our relationship. As a matter of fact, he wants us to share how much joy we have because he called us by name and we are members of his family. And that's what's just phenomenal is if we do acknowledge him before men and his word, that's the main ingredient. We have to acknowledge scripture. And if you find someone who is doing something that isn't according to scripture, it's worthy of correction. The Bible says that he who hates correction is stupid. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? Number five is to be baptized. And that is as your own faith response. I would highly, without a question, the Bible talks in many different places. And if anyone who's listening tonight needs more instruction about this, go ahead and drop us a line at the11thhourministries.net, www.11thhourministries.net, and we'll send you a copy of all of the scripture that relates to baptism. But make no mistake about it, the Bible clearly says that you are to be baptized. Matthew 28:19 says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And also in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. It also says in Scripture is to die to self and become reborn in Christ, and that's the act of being submerged in water and coming back as a new creation. So super important to be baptized. Go to 11thhourministries.net and leave a name if you're email address if you're looking for more information about baptism, and what we'll send you is pure scripture. It's not Mark's opinion. It's all about the Bible and according to the Word of God. And then number six is to follow Christ, letting him lead you through the Holy Spirit and his Word. And Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Can you imagine, Josephine? And I know that God has been just moved powerfully in your life and your husband's as well. And it's so encouraging to know that there are people like yourselves out there, Josephine, who, you know, you basically, is it not true that you live your life for the Lord?
Absolutely. That's the only thing that's absolutely uppermost in our whole life. That's what we want. We want a pure heart before God. And, you know, just I like to share another scripture with you, if I may, because this is so important. Please. About separating ourselves from the darkness. And not just people, but, I mean, darkness that we allow in our own lives. This is Second Corinthians, and it reads 6:14 through 7:1, and it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." You were talking about that earlier about separating ourselves. "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" "In ourselves or without ourselves," either one. "And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said." This is so good right here. "I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people."
Amen.
"Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not," because we're better than them. It's just because we have a different God now. We're changing God.
This
is in Romans 7:4 that you're going to get married to a new person. You're going to get married. You're going to get married to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you're going to take on his love and his righteousness.
Amen.
So it says, amen. Amen. And I will, it says, "And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Wow. "And will be a father unto you." Thank you, Father.
Amen.
"And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." That's fabulous.
And Josephine, and you know, we only have a few minutes here, and I think to wrap things up tonight, it's really interesting here. In Jude 9, I think that the message tonight should be very clear. That is, in Jude 9:9, actually it says, "But even the archangel Michael," the archangel Michael, "when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.' Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals. These are the very things that destroy them." You know, it's interesting is that, if you think about it, but even the archangel Michael did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against Satan.
Right.
And he said that the Lord rebuke you. And so, you know, I guess, you know, tonight the message I'm hoping that people understand is that, you know, the devil is power that we can't fight against. The devil has power, and the devil and his angels, even the archangel Michael, who is so revered by God and the Lord, did not dare. It's what the Bible says. When he was disputing the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." There is a power in Satan. Satan has a power greater than mankind and his angels, because this whole thing is in a spiritual realm, that the spirits that we live amongst here on earth. And so the only protection from Satan and his angels, and even to the point of Archangel Michael, who's, you know, very careful about how he says what he says, to bring the Lord to rebuke Satan. Again, you know, the message being that without God, we are in the mercy of the devil. Without Scripture, we are at the mercy of the devil and his angels, his fallen angels. And so, once again, here, Josephine, we'd love to say thank you for your time tonight. It's always a pleasure to speak with you folks, and God bless you and Arthur, and I speak for everyone who's listening. Thanks for your time and energy, and let's close in a prayer. Father God, we ask that all the people here listening tonight, God, that your pure scripture was read, God, your truth has been heard. We have no idea, Lord, how many people are listening and from what distance and the numbers of people, God, but we're here tonight that we may have gained a greater understanding in your truth and your word. And, Lord, we ask that there are someone out there tonight with a longing for you, God, that they come to know you better and your truth and your word would just change their lives forever, God, that they will turn to you and learn the pure scripture, the pure truth, according to the Bible, the miracle in motion, the Bible. We love you with the love of the Lord here at the 11th Hour Ministries. Good night.
AM 1000, KCEO, Vista, San Diego.
Independently owned and operated by the Astor Broadcast Group.